All right, Shabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur today is sponsored by Moshe and Devorah Wordeshine, in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Moshe's father, Milton Mordechai ben Moshe. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Thank you for the sponsorship. And also our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Tammuz, Uncle Mike Holtzman, in honor of all who keep the Daf Yomi going. Beautiful. All right, Shabbosai, with that, let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Lamed Gimel 33. We are picking up on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and we left off with Bishlama Moshe. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. A lot to do. Says the Gemara. Remember again, we ended off yesterday with the concept that Ezra davened for the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah to be removed. Right, so the Gemara says Yoshua didn't, and as a result, he's held accountable for that. So it says the Gemara, Bishlama Moshe lo ba'a rachami lo havaschus deretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven for the removal of this Yetzirah. Why? Because apparently Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the only way you could get this Yetzirah removed is if you have the schus of Klal Yisrael along with you. The source of Eretz Yisrael along with you. And Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was not in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, again, he didn't dive in for this. But again, Yoshua, the Habilei Yitzchus of Eretz Yisrael, Amai lo li bayrach. But Yoshua, who did have the schus of Eretz Yisrael at his disposal, why did he not dive in for this Yetzirah to be removed? And therefore, again, the Gemara says, Therefore, the Gemara says Yoshua should have davened, and because he did not do so, he is held accountable. How do we see that he's held accountable? Because in that pasuk by Ezra, he's not referred to as Yehoshua, but rather as Yeshua. The truncated form of his name is considered to be a condemnation that he should have davened for the removal of the Yetzara for Avodah Zarah, but he did not. Okay. V'haksiv asher yarshu avosecha v'yirishta. So we'll say, so now going back for just a moment. So remember, this whole discussion began because we had a dispute about Kiddusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita Vikitcha Lasid Lavo, or Lo Kitchel Lasid Lavo. The initial Kiddusha of Yoshua, was it just for the times of Yoshua, and or did it continue ultimately again throughout the years even post Yoshua? Meaning when Ezra came back, did Ezra create a new Kiddusha, or did Ezra simply perpetuate the Kiddusha of Yoshua? So the Gemara now is asking, according to the opinion who says that the Kiddusha of Yoshua did not continue, and Ezra had to forge a new Kiddusha, what do you do about the fact that the Pasuk says, V'haksiv yarsha yarsha v'secha v'ishta? Pasuk sounds like the Kiddusha of Yoshua was perpetuated. To the Gemara says, Hachi kamar, since your forefathers were able to go ahead and inherit the land, you were able to inherit it as well. So ultimately, again, Rashi says, that pasuk is a proof to the concept of Kiddusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Umi manu shmita v'yovlos. So we'll say now, let's go back for just a moment. So the Gemara mentioned yesterday that in times of Ezra, they counted shmitin and yovlos. Is that true? Is that true that they actually go ahead and count shmita and yovlos? After all, hashta, mishagalu shevet ruven v'shevet gad v'chasi shevet menashe, batlu yovlos. Rabosai, as we're going to see in just a moment, from the time that the 2.5 tribes were exiled, right? Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe, which were the Transjordanian tribes. So once they were exiled, so Klal Yisrael stopped observing Yovel, to which the Gemara says, Shevet Reuven, Veshevet Gad, Vechad, Shevet Menashe, Batli Yovelos, to which the Gemara says, Ezu Dechsivbe, Kalakal Ke'echad Arba Rivo Alafim, V'sheish me'os v'sheishim hava, money, to which the Gemara says, so remember again, if when you had 2.5 tribes which were exiled, they stopped observing Yovel. Ezra came back with less than 43,000 Jews. Also remember again, as we mentioned yesterday, only a fraction of Klal Yisrael came back with Ezra from Bavel. So if when there were 2.5 tribes exiled, they stopped observing Yovel, how could it be that Ezra, with a very, very, very small remnant of Klal Yisrael, is able to restart the Yovel clock? To which the Gemara says, Shene'emar, Ukrasim Drar Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveh, Bizman She'kol Yoshveh Aleha, V'lo Bizman She'galu Miktsasan. Because what does it say by Yovel? Ukrasa Drar, you will declare a Drar, a freedom, or a, right, for the entire land, for all of the inhabitants. What do you see from here? That Yovel only applies when all of the inhabitants of Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael. I will say all doesn't literally mean all, but as we're going to see, what does it mean? V'lo bizman shegalo mitzasan. Here's one thing, you need all the tribes. One thing is here, which is you need all of the Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael. Now, as we're going to see, I will say, you don't need all of Klal Yisrael. You need an overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael, which is actually interesting, because we are now living in times where within the next couple of years, the majority of the Jewish people will be living in Israel. So, which is quite fascinating, something that has not happened in the last 2,000 years. The numbers are definitely shifting in that way. And that actually creates a dramatic national reality. When the majority of Am Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, there's a shift. So first of all, again, when you have the majority of the tribe, you need representation of all of the tribes in Eretz Yisrael. That's number one. Furthermore, again, so the Gemara says, V'lo bizman shekel mitzasan, yachol hayu ayaleh v'hein me'uravin, shev yam yehud v'shev yehud b'myamin, yehei yovel noeg. You might have thought, I will say, but even if you have all the tribes, they could kind of be mixed up with each other, right? Each one will be living in different tribal areas. Tamalom alechol yoshveh, bizman sheyoshveh kitikunan, v'lo bizman shein me'uravin. So we'll say, two important halachos in order for Yovel to apply. Number one, you need all of the tribes to be in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, all of the tribes must be living in their designated tribal areas. So both say, so you put this all together, and one thing is clear, which is what? Ezra didn't have this. Right? Remember again, we know for a fact who was missing when Ezra came back? Levi. Shevet Levi was absent. No Leviim came back with your Zayda, not mine. Your Zayda, my Zayda came back. Right, so it has. We'll say so again. Right, so Shevet Levi was absent. So we'll say so already. Again, you're missing a tribe. You're missing a tribe. And furthermore, again, obviously, with 43,000, less than 43,000 people, you don't have all of the tribes living in their particular tribal areas. So how could it be that Ezra's counting Yovlos? To which the Gemara says something very interesting. When Nachman Yitzchak manu Yovlos lekadesh shmitim. They didn't really have Yovel. What they did is they counted the Yovel years in order to go ahead and establish when the Shemitah would take place. You both say, Shemitah, unlike Yovel, does not require all of these other technicalities. Right? As long as there's Jews in Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah takes place. Now, both say, now that in and of itself is also a machlokes. Right, when Shemitah's Dirabbanan versus when Shemitah's Daraisa. Without getting into that right now, the point that the Gemara makes over here is Ezra wasn't literally counting Yovel. What he was doing is he was counting the years up to Yovel because Ezra felt you cannot establish Shemitah without counting Yovel. What does that mean? Top of Lamed Gimel. Hanichal Rabbanan da'amri shnas chamishim eina olam min aminyon. So we'll say now, watch this. This is really fascinating. There is a fundamental machlokes when it comes to Yovel about how to count the Yovel year. Specifically, when is Yovel? When is Yovel? Yovel is year 50, right? So after the seventh cycle of Shemitah, Shemitah is year 49, Yovel is year 50. There is a fundamental machlokes about the status of year 50. Is year 50 a standalone year? A standalone year? And therefore, again, 50 is a standalone year, and effectively, a year 51 becomes the first year of the next Shemitah cycle, or is year 50 what we call Ola Lekan Ulekan? Year 50 is year 50, it's Yovel, but it's also what? It's also what? Year number one for the new count. So they both say, so if you hold that year 50 is a standalone year, right? Year 50 is Yovel, but year 51 is ultimately, again, when the new cycle starts. then halacha lamais, you could understand why Ezra would have to count years up to Yovel. Because even if I'm not observing Yovel as a Yovel year, I still need to know when the 50th year is, because it's a standalone year, and then I know when to start the new Shemitah cycle in year 51. So, but ultimately, according to Yehuda, who holds, then no, year 50 is not a standalone year. Year 50 is in fact what? It's year number one, right? It's just year number one of the new Shemitah cycle. Then ultimately, again, olakan olakan, lamali, why do I have to count Yovel years? B'Shemitin Sagya. Then Abba say, the truth is, I don't have to count Yovel years. I could just count Shemitah years. And ultimately, again, I'm good to go. So the Gemara says, Havandai delo k'Rabbi Yehuda. You're right. Ultimately, again, obviously, this price that Ezra counted Yovel years when he brought back the Jews is not reflective of the view of Rabbi Yehuda. It's reflective of the view of the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, V'lo manu shmitin the Yovlos. And then you're going to tell me that they didn't count shmitin in Yovlos. V'aksiv. So the pasuk over here says in Yirmiyo that at the end of 7 years, each person shall send away. Right? Ish es achiv va'ivri. If you have a Jewish servant, you will set him free. If he was sold to you, va'avinan ba miketz sheva shanim v'haksiv va'avdecha sheish shanim. Why does the pasuk say you'll send away the eved ivri at the end of 7 years? After all, what does it say? The eved ivri works for how long? 6 years. It's referring to six years, ultimately, again, if he was sold as a regular servant, and 7 years if his ear was pierced. Now, we'll say, now, what does that mean? 7 years if his ears were pierced. We know the halacha is what? If the ear was pierced, when does he work until? Until Yovel. Rashi says, so look at Rashi. V'sheva l'nirtza. Sh'anirtza ino yotzi at ha-yovel. V'mnirtza upaga b'yovel. B'shana sh'minis l'ritziya. So Yosel b'yovel. Supposedly what it means is, Yirmiyahu was saying, in a situation where ultimately the Yovel year happened to come about, in year number 7, the Eved would go free under those circumstances. They're both saying, now the numbering over here is not as important to us as something else, which is that apparently Yovel is in effect during the times of Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Look at Rashi. Alba b'mei tzidkia havi Yovel, v'tzidkia b'mei churban habayis tohavu kama doros achar galos ancheirev. The point is, what do you see over here? That you have over here, Yovel is in effect during the days, ultimately of Tzidkio, right? Tzidkio, which is many days after Sancheirev, after the 2.5 tribes were exiled. So we'll say the point over here is we just have an interesting historical issue, which is you're making it sound, with the way the Gemara kind of made it sound like was, once the 2.5 tribes were exiled, pretty much Yovel stops. Why does Yovel stop? Because Yovel requires the presence of all of the tribes. And even though you're telling me that Ezra counted, that Ezra observed Yovel, it doesn't really mean Ezra observed Yovel. What did Ezra do with Yovel? He counted the years. He didn't observe Yovel. He just counted the years because he had to know when Yovel was in order to what? In order to know when Shemitah was, at least according to one particular opinion. Now the Gemara says, you see it's not true. You see even later on, during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they are counting Yovel. Then I both say, that's problematic. Why? Why? Who's still missing? The 2.5 tribes. Right? Even if Levi, even if some members of Levi, let's assume they came back at some later time, which no, historically, some part of Levi did come back later on after Ezra, we're still missing 2.5 tribes. If I'm still missing 2.5 tribes, then how am I going ahead and observing Yovel? Rabbi said, this is really quite fascinating. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, get ready for this. Yirmiyah Hechziran. Yirmiyah brought back the 2.5 tribes. Yirmiyah brought them back. Now, Rabbi, remember again, when you say brought them back, I don't need him to bring back all of them. I just need him to bring back some representation of them. V'Yoshio ben Amon malach aleihem, and Yoshio ben Amon ultimately again was the king over them. So the Gemara says, "Umnalan dahadr." How do I know that Yirmiyo brought back the 2.5 tribes? Dichsiv, because he quotes over here the pasuk from Yecheskel, ki amocher el haminkar lo yashuv, va'od b'chayim chayosam, ki chazon es el kol hamona lo yashuv, ish bavano chayosa lo yischazaku. So the Gemara says, Efshar Yovel Batal. So what's happening over here? So is it possible that there's no Yovel? The Navi Misnavi Shi'i Batal. Now remember again, the Pasuk over here is talking about the returning of sold property. Right? Remember it's talking about the fact that property that was sold will be returned to its owner. We'll say, when does that occur? When does that occur? That occurs during Yovel. So ultimately, again, Elamelameid, first wide line, Elamelameid Shech Zira and Yermio. Ultimately, again, it's clear that Yirmiyahu brought back the lost tribes. Uminalan, the Yoshio Malach and Anabose. Now here's what's interesting. How do I know that King Yoshio ruled over the Anabose? So just so we know our Jewish history, Yoshio was a king of Yehuda. Remember again, the tribes that were missing were from Malchus Yisrael. So how do I know that ultimately again Yoshio is ruling over them? To which the Gemara says, Dechsev, Vayomer, Ma'atziun Halaz Asher Ani Ro'eh. So ultimately, again, another pasuk from this is from Malachim. So Ma'atziun Ha'izlaz Asher Niroe Vayomer Elav Anshi Ha'ir Hakever Isha Elokim Asher Bam Yehuda Vayikra Es Hadvarim Al Hamizbeach Beit El V'chimativo Shusha Beit El. So we'll say now, essentially, pasuk is referring to the fact that Yoshio was in Beit El. Now, what was Yoshio doing in Beit El? Beit El, remember again, is in Malchus Yisrael. Yoshio is a king of Yehuda. Elo, kishech zira in Yirmiyo, Yoshio malach alein. Rather, again, I will say we see from here that when Yirmiyo brought back the 2.5 tribes, Yoshio, the king of Yehuda, ruled over them. Hanach Rabbi Yitzchak Armehacha, Kam Yehuda shas ketzir lach b'shuvi shavus ami. Ultimately, quoting over here the pasuk from Hosea, Gam Yehuda Shas Katzilach, even Yehuda gave a leader over you when I brought back the remnant of my people. So we'll say, so fascinatingly enough, what we see over here is as follows. It appears it comes out from the Gemara. So first of all, a couple of very interesting halachas. Yovel only applies when you have all of the tribes in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, not only do you need all of the tribes, but the tribes must be arranged according to their tribal portions. Why is Ezra, if that's the case, counting Shemitah, or excuse me, counting Yovel when there are less than 43,000 Jews coming back with him? So it seems to be because Ezra must have held of the opinion that the Yovel year was a standalone year. And therefore he's counting the Yovel year in order to know when Shemitah falls out. Nothing to do with Yovel, but year 50 is a standalone year. Year 51 is the start of the new cycle. Therefore, in order to know the Shemitin, you have to count the Yovlos. Aye, but we see later on in history, they are going ahead and counting Yovlos, to which the Gemara says historically something riveting, which is Yirmiyo Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah brought back the 2.5 tribes. He brought back the 2.5 tribes. And if he brought back the 2.5 tribes, then what does that do? That restored the concept ultimately of Yovel to Klal Yisrael. Pretty amazing. Says the Mishnah, Bati achatzerim nosin lahen koach yafesh shebabati arechoma v'koach yafesh shebasalas. We'll say, now we're on to another category of real estate. What we call Bati achatzerim. Ultimately, again, homes of courtyards. Which I will say essentially means homes in unwalled cities. Homes in unwalled cities. Homes in unwalled cities essentially have both some of the aspects of homes in walled cities and fields, general fields. General fields. How so, Rabbi Osei? So ultimately, again, v'nigalin miyat, they can be redeemed immediately. So we'll say in that respect, they're like what? They're like homes in a walled city, which could be, so remember again, you have a home essentially in an unwalled city. So what the Mishnah is telling you over here is it has certain qualities like a home in a walled city and other qualities like a field in an unwalled city. So it has the aspect of a home in a walled city and that it can be redeemed immediately. And for the subsequent 12 months, kibatim, ultimately again like home in a walled city. V'yotzin biyovel u'bigiron kasef kisados. B'yet Rabbi say ultimately it reverts back to its owner, as well as through a buyout option like regular fields in an unwalled city. Good, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, so let's analyze this. Tan Rabbanan, al sdeha aretz yichashev. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, it shall be reckoned like the stei haaretz, like the fields of the earth. What does that mean? So ekisha kasav l'kstei chuza. On one hand, the Torah compared homes in an unwalled city to a stei chuza, to an ancestral field. How so? Ma stei chuza yotze biyovel begiron kesef. Just like a steachuza goes out in Yovel. Now, also remember again, if you sell your ancestral field and you do nothing, what happens? Yovel comes, it comes back to you. Ubigiron kesef. Giron kesef means what? You can buy out, right? Based on the number of years of the sale, the number of years that the owner, that the purchaser has used the field, you can buy out the field. Af patei chatzirim yotzim biyovel begiron kesef. So too homes in unwalled cities come revert back to the owner and giron kesef. Giron kesef, good. Yet imaste achuza eino nigales bipachos mishtei shanim af pati chater eino gam pachos shesh. Rabbi Yosef, if that's the case, if you're comparing a home in an unwalled city to ste achuza, I would say like this: ste achuza is an interesting halacha, which is what? Once you sell an ancestral field, you may not what redeem it within the first 2 years. I might have thought that a home in an unwalled city has that same halacha. Talmud lomar. Geula tihye lo miyad. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Geula tihye lo." Ultimately, it may be redeemed even immediately. I hoel v'nasatam koach yavesh shabesados v'koach sadesh shebebatim yachol lo yitzu biyovel. So, as I said, I might have thought like this: now that you've given these homes in an unwalled city, ultimately, again, the koach yafa, right? You've given them the best qualities that you have in ancestral fields. And also the qualities, ultimately, again, of a home in a walled city. I might have thought, therefore, they don't revert back to their owners during Yovel, like a home in a walled city does not revert back to its owner. Talmud lomar, uba Yovel yetze. Say the pasuk explicitly says that a home in an unwalled city does return back to its owner during the Yovel year. So my kamar, what does this statement mean? Amrafuna lo nitzucha ela lemakdish. Actually, we're talking about a different case. What happens if someone consecrated their home in an unwalled city? I have a home in an unwalled city, and I'm makdish it. I consecrate it. Vinigal, and what happens? Ugo'alo acher. Then I will say, now remember again, it's very important to halacha. When someone other than the owner goes ahead and redeems it. Remember again, if I'm makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, and now what happens? Reuven comes along and he redeems it from the Beis HaMikdash. You have the right? Once it's temple property, anyone could redeem it. So now what happens? I'm makdish my home in an unwalled city. Reuven comes along and redeems it. V'galu acham yad hegdish upaga ba yovel b'shana shnia. Now this is fascinating. What happens? Yovel occurs in the second year after the sale. So the my midamis. So we'll say in these circumstances, how do I look at this home? So I'll say, if I look at it ultimately again, if I compare a home in an unwalled city to a home in a walled city, then I'll say, what's effectively happened? A year has already elapsed, and therefore, the purchaser now effectively owns the home because a year has elapsed and I have not redeemed my home. If I compare it ultimately again to an ancestral field, then what? Then I'll say, what's happened? It hasn't been redeemed. It hasn't been redeemed from Hekdish. The Yovel year has come. It now becomes the property of the Kohanim. Therefore, Lahachi Itzrich Kra, Lahachi Itzrich Uba Yovel Yetze. Therefore, Bosei, the Pasuk comes along and teaches you that no, by Yovel Yetze, when the Yovel comes, even if it's been consecrated and been redeemed by someone else, it reverts back to the original owner. Maskif La Rab Zira, Shav Zira Zikasha. My area ga'alo acher. Why do you have to set this up as a case of someone else who is redeeming the field? Afilu lo ga'alo nami. Even if it wasn't redeemed, the same halacha applies that when Yovel comes, it reverts back to the original owner. Armli abay shlo yomru hekdish yotze below pidyon. But I'll say ultimately again, because we don't want taking stuff back from the Beis HaMikdash without money. People shouldn't think that things could be removed from Hekdesh without redemption. So the Gemara says, Minalan, from where do we know this? Mi Ben Levi. Ultimately, we know this from Ben Levi. Ma Ben Levi, Shiyafa Kocho B'mem Karo, Hora Kocho Begdesho. Rabbi will say, Ben Levi, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah, has certain benefits when it comes to his ability to sell, yet his rights are compromised by Hekdesh. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. It's the last short line of Rashi. Ben Levi Yafek Koch Bemkaro, as we're going to say in a little bit, Shegol Miyad Stay Migrash Areim Ubate Arechoma Gol in the Olam Vyotzin Biova Kedamar Lekam. Rabbi, as we're going to see, Ben Levi has incredible redemption rights. When he sells something, no matter what he sells, he always has the ability to go ahead and redeem it immediately. Not only that, he can redeem it forever. Not only that, it comes back to him at Yovel. So we'll say, if you're a Levi, this is incredible. You have the most incredible real estate redemption rights. So again, whatever property you're selling, you could redeem it immediately, you could redeem it forever, and it always comes back to you at Yovel. So a Levi has incredible redemption rights, yet he doesn't have the best consecration rights. If you look at Rashi, Hora Kocho Behagdesho, Shelo Yotze Belo Pidyon Kidmefarshkon, it says we're going to see that if a Levi is Makdish something, in order for him to get it back, he must redeem it. So the Gemara says, Yisrael Shehoreko Chobimem Karo, see, Yisrael who has compromised real estate redemption rights, Eino Din Shehoreko Chobimekdesho, I'm out of 30, certainly has compromised redemption rights from Hagdish. Bahas Saminan, Rabbi Sefer, where do we know? And over there, where do we know? Disanya, here we go. The Yatsa Mimkar, so we'll say the Pasuk says, the sale will revert. Shomeani Afilu Avadav Mitatlov Shtarav. I'm out of thought this even applies to metaltolin, right? Or even things like his metaltolin, his shtaros, and his surface, not just real estate. Tamil Omar, bayis v'irachuzasa. The Pasuk says it refers to his home and to his ancestral holdings. Ma Tamil Omar Memkar. So we'll say, what do I learn from the word Memkar? Memkarav yotze bechinam. It is only the property that he sold that comes out without any transfer of funds. Vein hekdesh yotze bechinam ela bepeyon. But ultimately, again, I will say anything that is hekdesh never comes out for free, only requires peyon. Pligud raboshia. And this argues on raboshia. How so? Dan raboshia. Hakol hayu bichlal v'nasan hakesef v'kamlo. We'll say everything was included in the principle of v'nasan hakesef v'kamlo. He will give the money and it will be his. The Pasuk by Steachuza says that if it was made Hagdish, ultimately, again, it comes out by the Yovel, and it remains the property, ultimately, of the Kohanim. Sadehu de parik le v'nafka l'kohanim. It is only the field that is redeemed and becomes ancestral field that becomes the property of the Kohanim. Aval hanuch kidikai mikami. But maybe all of these other items, as they were, they remain. Uba yovel o yetze yamli. So why do I need the phrase uba yovel yetze? Amna papa lo nitzucha l'lamocher bayis b'batei achatzir l'paga ba yovel b'shana shnia. Well, I say ultimately I need it for a very specific case of someone who sells a home, right, in an unwalled city. And afterwards, again, Yovel comes about in the second year after the sale. So, the Maimid Damaste. So, they'll say, to what do I compare, ultimately, again, this home in the unwalled city? If I compare the home to a home in a walled city, then Ichlet Leila Lokeach, a year has already gone by, the home has not been redeemed, and therefore what? It becomes the property of the purchaser. So the Gemara says, Ila Steachuza. Or if I compare the home ultimately to a Steachuza, then what's the halacha? Midamis, so ultimately again, Ila Steachuza Midamis Le Hashlama Boy. Then I will say, again, remember, there's an interesting halacha by Steachuza. We saw this referenced a couple of days ago, which is as follows. When you sell a Steachuza, what's the halacha? You can only redeem it when? After 2 years, right? You have two, the purchaser gets to use it for 2 years and you can't redeem it in the first 2 years. What happens if Yovel comes within those first 2 years? Remember again, we saw the interesting halacha. Essentially, Yovel kind of pauses the clock. So the purchaser gets another year after Yovel to enjoy the property. So the Gemara says, so which one is it? Lahachi itzterich uba Yovel yetze. Therefore, I need the pasuk of Yovel yetze to teach me that halacha lamaisa, when it comes to a home sold in an unwalled city, ultimately, Yovel causes that to revert back to the original owner. Tanya Kavase Drafuna Utiyufta Draboshia. We have a Brisa that's the part of Huna and has refutation of Roshia. Hamakdish Bais Bebate Chatzerim. If someone is Makdish a home in an unwalled city, Harei ze goel miyad v'goel lo li olam. He has the ability to redeem it immediately and to redeem it forever. Goel lo achar miyad hekdish. If someone else, Reuven, comes along and is makdish my home from the Beis HaMikdash, he gia yovel v'lo nigal. Once yovel comes, even if I did not redeem it, chazer lebalim b'yovel. Ultimately, again, the home reverts back during the other night. And that is indeed halacha l'maisa. If I take my home that is a home in an unwalled city, and I am makdish it, I consecrate it, I have the ability to redeem it immediately. I have the ability to redeem it forever. And even if someone else came along and redeemed it in the interim, when Yovel comes, it returns back to my ownership. Then I both say, now that I'm a Mavir Paskins in Hilchos Shemitah and Yovel, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud, concerning the Mishnah, so the Rambam writes, Hamocher Bayis Babate Chaserim. Forget about Hekdesh for just a moment, because that's not really the topic of the Mishnah. The topic of the Mishnah is if one sells a home in an unwalled city. So as I remember again, selling a home in an unwalled city, the Gemara understands, presents a little bit of like a halachic anomaly. Are you considered like a field in an unwalled city, or are you like a home in a walled city? So what do I do? So the Gemara says, Hareze nigal b'koach yofa. So the truth is, you have actually the strongest redemption rights over here. Shebedina soda v'shebedina batim. You have the best of the redemption rights of a steachuza, as well as a home in a walled city. How so? Keitzad in ratza ligol miyad goel kedina batim. So we'll say, if you sell a home in an unwalled city, you have redemption rights like a home in a walled city. Namely, what? You could redeem it immediately. Hegia yud beis chodesh v'lo goel areza goel shnasi yovav. But you not only can you redeem it immediately, but what? You can redeem it forever until the Yovel. Ultimately, again, if you sell a home in an unwalled city, your rights are as follows. Number one, you could redeem it immediately. Number two, you could redeem it forever. Forever means what? Until Yovel. Number three, if you did not redeem it during Yovel, then it returns back to you without any transfer of funds. That is the halacha l'maisa. Good. We'll say Mishnah, Lamed Gimel, Amud Beis. Ve'eluhein batei achatzerim. And I will say, by the way, here is the definition of a home in an unwalled city. Shnei chatzerim shal shnei batim. Af al pi shemukef eschon os Yoshua benon. Harei zeka batei chatzerim. I will say, if you have a city that has only two courtyards with two homes each, even if it has a wall around it, that is still considered to be an unwalled city. I will say this is a throwback to the Mishnah that we saw yesterday that taught us that what? That Allah Chalamaisa, what is the definition of a walled city? At least three courtyards with three courtyards with two homes each, right? And a wall around it, that is a walled city. So all the Mishnah is saying is, if you have a city that has two courtyards, even if it has two homes each, even if it mamish has an ancient wall from the times of Yoshua ben Nun, that is considered to be an unwalled city, and therefore the homes that are sold there will be subject to the halachos that we just espoused. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Mimash Moshe Ne'emar Batei Achatzerim. Once it says the home of the courtyards, Eini Yodei Hashem Lem Choma. I know that we're talking about unwalled cities. Why does the Pasuk have to say it doesn't have a wall? To which they all say, this is incredible. Why does it have to say it doesn't have a wall? To teach me, teaching that even if it does have a wall, that will say that what? It's as if what? It is unwalled. So we'll say, what that's saying over here is as follows. Even if it mamish has a wall, right? Again, it has a wall, Yoshua ben Nun. But if the city itself doesn't satisfy the criteria of a city, i.e., it's less than three courtyards with two homes each, even if mamish the wall is there, halachically it is treated ultimately again like an unwalled city. I will say, which also teaches you an incredible concept, which is the reality of a Jew is not defined by what your eyes see. The reality of the Jew is defined by what the Torah says. And even if the Torah tells me that something is different than what my eyes see, that's the reality by which I go by. I see a wall. And if I see a wall, if I touch a wall, right, if I carbon date the wall to the times of Yoshua ben Nun, sounds like what? It's a walled city. Except that it's not. Let's say an incredible yisod. V'kama batim. So the Gemara says v'kama batim shnayim. We'll say how much when we speak about batim. What's batim? What's the number of batim? Two chatziros shnayim. Shtei chatziros or shtei batim. We'll say so. If all that. So remember again in general. So in general, I need three courtyards with two homes each. Therefore, even if I only have two, if I have two courtyards with two homes each, that doesn't satisfy the criteria. I understand maybe it's not just to have one house and one chatzer. So we'll say therefore the pasuk could have just said chatzerim. V'chitema ikasev rachmana chatzerim chatzer below bayis mashma. I but if we would have just said chatzerim, ultimately I would have thought that even if you just have a chatzer without a bayis, that would be enough. To which the Gemara says no. That's called Ahu Karfei Fikri. We'll say that is ultimately called the Karfei. So we'll say again, this indeed is Halacha Lamaisa as well. In order to be defined as a walled city, not only do you need a wall, but you also need a minimum of three courtyards with two homes each. Anything less than that creates the situation of an unwalled city. Mishnah, we'll say this is an incredible case. Yisrael Sheyoresh Avi Imo Levi. We'll say, listen to this. You have Yisrael who has a Zeda who's a Levi. So let's say now in this situation, the grandson who's a Yisrael is inheriting the property of his grandfather Levi. Let's say now, remember again, we just saw before that a Levi has different redemption rights, much better redemption rights than a Yisrael. Right? Namely, again, that a Levi on Levitic property, as we're going to see, has the ability to redeem immediately and has the ability to redeem forever, and everything comes back to him at Yovel. The best of all redemption rights. We're going to deal with over here is as follows. Well, so you know where this is going, right? What happens if a Yisrael inherits real estate from his Zeda, the Levi? Do his redemption rights, does he have Yisrael redemption rights, or does he have Levi redemption rights? So the Mishnah says, Yisrael sheyarash avi imo Levi, if a Yisrael goes ahead and inherits the property of his grandfather Levi, eina goel kiseder hazeh, he does not redeem it in accordance with everything we just said, which I will say sounds like what? He doesn't redeem it as a Yisrael, but rather again, he inherits the rights of redemption of his grandfather as well. V'chein Levi sheyarash es avi imo Yisrael, we'll say what this sounds like over here is, and if a Levi, if let's say, we'll say reverse, the Levi Enochel, right, the Levi grandson, inherits his grandfather who is a Yisrael. This would obviously be on his mother's side. Right? So what's Talacha? He also doesn't redeem the property in accordance with what we just said. We're going to see what that means in just a moment. Ela, Shneemar, ki bate ari ha-levim hi achuzasam, Achi Levi va'ari ha'levim dire Rebbe. I will say, so ultimately, again, Rebbe holds that until he is a Levi, and the property is Ari Levi'im. Now, remember, again, we're going to discuss this in the next Mishnah. Levi'im were given property. Even though Levi'im did not have a tribal portion, there were Levitic cities throughout Eretz Yisrael. Every Shevet was obligated to allocate a certain number of cities for the Levim. So even though they don't have a tribal portion, they absolutely own real estate. Rebbe holds that the halachos of Levitic redemption only apply to Levim with Arei HaLevim. We'll discuss what that means. Chacham the Chacham say, Ein Dvarim Halalu Amurim Ela Ba'Arei HaLevim. And the Chacham say, all of this only applies to the actual cities of the Levim. Says the Gemara, Ve'ele Kiman. So we'll say ultimately again, whose opinion is being stated over here? Keben Levi. So we'll say, now remember again, if we said before that the Mishnah says that a Yisrael who inherits his Levi grandfather does not go ahead and inherit in accordance with the laws that we just said. So if he doesn't inherit the laws that we just said, who does he inherit like? So we're saying rather the Yisrael inherits like a Ben Levi. Here's the problem. The Mishnah then contradicts itself. V'hadar tani ach yehe Levi v'ari ha-Levi'im. But then you just, then the Mishnah goes on and says that what? That ultimately, again, you only inherit like a Levi if what? If you are a Levi dealing with Levitic property. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Ema, Eino goel ela kiseder hazeh, achi Levi va'arei ha-Levim divrei Rebbe. So ultimately, rather you have to say that according to the second statement in the Mishnah, the only time you get Levitic real estate redemption rights, right, is when, if you are a Levi dealing with Levitic property. So what's happening over here? Bishlama ir halavim dechsev ki bate are halavim. So I say, I understand why ultimately specific redemption rights appear or apply to Ari Halavim, to Levitic cities, because the pasuk says, because Bate Ari Halavim, El Levi Minalan, how do I know that these specific rights only apply to a Levi? Dechsiv Vasher Yigal Min Halavim. We're going to define this in just a moment. Tanya, Bryce says, Vasher Yigal Min Halavim, Yochel Levi Mi Yisrael Yigal, Shezeh Yofe Kocho Vezeh Hora Kocho. I'm going to say, when does a Levi have enhanced rights? When he is redeeming from Yisrael. Because a Levi is better than Yisrael, right? Levim have more rights than redemption rights than Yisraelim. Aval, Levi mi Levi lo. But we'll say, maybe when a Levi is redeeming property from another Levi, maybe he doesn't have those same rights. So after all, Shezei yafakocho, Fezei yafakocho, Tamalor min alavim velo kol halavim. It applies to some of Levim and not all of Levim. Prat, leben Levi, mamzer unisin. But who's the exception to this rule? If the Levi ultimately, again, has a son who is a mamzer or a nisin, right? A Levi marries someone who's not allowed to marry, and as a result has a mamzer or has a nisin, I would have thought that those children have, or therefore the Pasuk teaches me, those children do not have Levitic real estate redemption rights. The Chachamim say, in Dvarim Halalu Amurim Ela Ba'ari Halavim, Aval ad shehe Levi lo aminan. But say the Chacham on the other hand say that what? That halacha lemaisa, Levitic redemption rights apply, or it did. Excuse me. Thank you. So I will say, the Chacham say Levitic real estate redemption rights are a din in the Cheftza, not the Gavra. So I will say, Rebbe said that Levitic real estate redemption rights are a din in the Gavra, which means what? Which means what? It's a din in the Levi. Anytime a Levi deals in real estate, ultimately, again, he has these enhanced redemption rights, which are three-pronged redemption rights. Number one, that you could redeem immediately, you could redeem for however long you want, and everything comes back to you at Yovel. The Chachamim say, no, this is not a din in the Gavra, this is a din in the Cheftza. Anytime you are dealing with Levitic real estate, whoever deals in Levitic real estate has these rights of enhanced redemption. They both say, what's the nafkamina? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is what happens if you have a Yisrael grandson who inherits his grandfather Levi's property. According to Rebbe, that grandson would not have specialized Levitic real estate redemption rights. According to the Chachamim, he was. So we'll say, so how do we paskin? So here we go. The Rambam writes in Hilchos, Shemitah and Yovel, Yisrael sheyarash es avi imo Levi. If a Yisrael inherits his grandfather, who is a Levi, hare ze goel kileviim. The grandson has the real estate redemption rights like a Levi. Afa pi she'eno Levi. Even though obviously he is not a Levi. Why? Hoil v'ha'arim v'ha'sado shalavim goel li'olam. Shedin ze taloi bimkomos elu v'lo b'baylim. So the Rebbe says, the Rambam says it explicitly. Shedin ze taloi bimkomos elu v'lo b'baylim. That ultimately, again, the nature of Levitic real estate redemption rights is a din in the Cheftza, not the Gavra. Ultimately, again, as a din in Levitic property. So whoever is in possession of that property has these heightened redemption rights. So we'll say this is incredibly important, because what else does this tell you? What else does this tell you? Again, we'll say, remember again, as much as Levim were given these cities, it does not preclude a Levi from what? From owning real estate somewhere else. Like, let's say a Levi buys up real estate. You have a Levitic real estate magnate. So he's buying up property all over the place. So we'll say, so again, what's his rights vis-a-vis that property? Vis-a-vis those properties, his rights are just like any other Yisrael's, right? It's governed. So again, if he's buying up real estate in walled cities, it's like that. If he's buying up real estate in unwalled cities, Batim, Sados, whatever it is. So we'll say, so the Rambam paskins, the specialized halachos of Levitic real estate redemption ultimately are a din in the Cheftza, not a din in the Gavra, applied to the actual fields, not to the individual. So even if Avi Yisrael is in possession of a Levitic field, ultimately, again, he has the redemption rights like a Levi. We'll stop over here. I'll record the parasha thought. It's a short shiur tomorrow. We'll say I'll send out the schedule. Schedule tomorrow is going to be a little bit different. The Daf Yomi shiur is going to be an hour before Mincha, the later Mincha. The outdoors, yes, we will take advantage of the beautiful weather, right? So it'll be 7:05. There'll still be an early Mincha as well, but the shiur will not follow immediately following the early Mincha. It'll be an hour before the late Mincha. And the Meretz will finish the daf, be ma'ayin a little bit as well. It'll go out to Meretz Hashem in the WhatsApp chat. Shkoyach.